Good morning and welcome. This is Community Focus on your Cumulus radio stations in York and Lancaster. Mark McKenzie welcoming you in for a rare program that is being recorded during this coronavirus pandemic. You might even remember a program that we did last summer, and I will tell you how much things change in the space of a year. Last summer, I remember recording this program. I think it was sometime in the middle of July, and at the time, talked to Coco Minardi, who is the donor relations manager at Hospice and Community Care. And I had, no need of their services at the time. We had a very interesting conversation about one of the big events in the area, their big Labor Day auction. And now, a year later, boy, so many things have changed. Specifically about the Labor Day auction, it's going to be happening this year, but they're going to be doing it in a different fashion. Last year, it was just 3 days. They limited it. This year, it's going to be over more than a week, and it'll be virtual. But that's not necessarily a bad thing, and we'll talk about that with Coco, who's here once again. But I also wanted to let everybody know, for those who may not be familiar, I lost my wife over the last year, and in that time between the program was recorded and the time it aired, my wife passed away, and I ended up looking for, I had a pretty good church family, and obviously my own family and work family, a lot of people, a lot of support, but I still, had trouble kind of figuring out what the heck happened and dealing with grief and loss. And hospice and community care, one of the facilities that they have, they don't only have hospice care, inpatient centers, that kind of thing, but they also are home to the Pathways Center for Grief and Loss. And you might remember a program we did, actually a couple of them over the last year, with Pathways, and talking with Patty, who works there, the director, just a wealth of information, and really helped me along. And so I am a big fan of Pathways, and try to let folks know to access that. But hospice and community care are a real resource in the community in a number of different ways. So, Coco, I don't think I could have I got my cards on the table, okay? I'm biased, and there's not much I can do about that when we talk.
Well, we appreciate that, Mark, for sure. And, you are right. The Pathway Center for Grief and Loss is a little bit of an unknown resource for people in our community. And it's sad that they typically only come to know about it when they are, grieving the loss of someone that they love.
Nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to talk about grief, in particular. Matter of fact, that's one of the things that I had learned, and how it would shape my relationships with my friends and coworkers and things like that. So they showed me how to handle that and how to make it better. So anyone out there who's dealing with grief and loss, don't do it on your own. You do not have to. They have all kinds of classes. They have one-on-one. They have, if you feel like you're being isolated, they have group gatherings where you can talk with others in your own setting, and you can go at your own pace. I just can't say enough about Pathways. You can find out more about that online. If you have your cell phone, you can do a search that way. But let's zero in a little bit, too, on hospice and community care, which is really the umbrella organization, because you've got a lot of things going on. Right, Coco?
We do, actually. And, you touched upon the isolation that grief can, can bring upon somebody. Another thing that brings on isolation is this pandemic that we're going through. And we've definitely seen an uptick in inquiries to the Pathway Center because people are really challenged by this. They need support and they need the community, but they're not really supposed to go out to the community and find that support. So our Pathway Center counselors have, like you said, they've continued to do all of the services that they've done in the past, but we do them now virtually. We do them online. We do them by phone in Zoom meetings. So you can have one-on-one counseling, as you said, or group situations where people who are grieving the same sort of loss as you can kind of share that experience. So it is a little bit different, But one thing that the, you know, that we at the hospice and community care made the decision to do is that the pandemic was not going to stop us from providing services, because the services that we provide are essential. You know, care for people who are facing end of life or life limiting diseases, people who are, you know, in serious in need of supportive care. So we have actually not stopped seeing any of our patients. Our patient census throughout this pandemic has actually been the highest that it's been in the history, the 40-year history of the organization, seeing almost 630 plus people per day.
Wow. Well, and you know, part of that is because of the pandemic. They are, you know, one of the key things to processing grief is the, you know, the funeral process, the memorial process, where you have a chance to gather and hug it out with the people that you know and that you knew in common and that kind of thing. It was one of the things, matter of fact, we're recording this program yesterday as we were recording it, not we're airing it, but yesterday was the 1 year anniversary of my wife's memorial. And I remember it. It's one of the things that kind of stays with me. And it was very life affirming, not only for her and her contribution to the community, but for me as well in our connection. So very important. But because of the pandemic, you can't do that.
Exactly. And, you know, I tip my hat to the churches and the funeral, you know, industry that has really tried to pivot quickly to create some sort of experience, like you've said, some sort of more memorial or a dedication service. And they are doing some things that can help people do that. But it really has, you know, the idea of hugging it out. We're not hugging it out anymore,
right.
But it is essential to continue to connect with people. And hopefully we've been able to do that. We've had our Path of Remembrance ceremony will be held virtually. We will also hold our Light Up a Life, which these are kind of memorial tribute events to kind of affirm the lives of people who have passed. And we will be continuing to do those. We will just be doing those in a different format. And we encourage everybody to kind of continue to seek out those options, those opportunities.
And we're talking with Coco Minardi, who is the Donor Relations Manager for Hospice and Community Care. Unless you think that this is all we're going to talk about, we are going to talk about something else that's life-affirming, and that is shopping. But before we get to, the Labor Day auction, I also wanted to find a little bit more. You know, it's funny. I went to the website and for Hospice and Community Care. I saw a question there, and I thought, you know, I don't really know the answer to that. But the question was, why hospice care? And I don't know if that's something that you can answer.
Yeah, and you know, and I can look at it from both a personal and professional perspective. Hospice very expertly cared for both my aunt and my grandmother at their end of life. So I had a personal experience with the organization as well, but also professionally, I see it every day. So why hospice care? There are some myths around hospice that people think, oh gosh, it means that I'm giving up, or it's, you know, I'm close to death. The reality of it is that people who actually seek out hospice care end up having a little bit of a longer lifespan than if they had not. So when you abandon some of those curative treatments like chemotherapy, that can be very difficult on a body. You kind of actually give your body a little bit more time to live. And then once you have that time, you can spend it in the ways that are most important to you. So in addition to our nurses and physicians and our clinical staff, we also have social workers who sit down with the patient and their caregivers and say, what's important to you? What do you want to do? And some of them may say, hey, you know what? I'd like to go to Las Vegas and gamble before it's all said and done. And we will make that happen for them. Or they say, you know what? It's my 50th anniversary with my wife, and I really would like to do something special with her. And so we can organize that. So, you know, some people think, gosh, hospice is about death. It is actually about living life to the fullest, the life that you have left, living it to the fullest. And so for me, that's why hospice.
And I will tell you,
we want to live those last days to the best that we can.
Absolutely. And the perspective, I guess I didn't really have the perspective, but I do sort of now with this idea that we have kind of as a culture pushed death off to the side and we don't like talking about it. But, you know, hospice and community care, you deal with it every day. So you're able to put it in perspective and realize that, you know, there are other priorities at the end.
Absolutely. We do. And, you know, it is a difficult thing. We're not absolutely going to make any excuses about that. It is a difficult topic to talk about. It is a difficult process to work through. But I use my own father's example. He was an only child. And when my grandmother was dying, you know, his hospice nurse, he refers to her as his Sherpa. She was a guide.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah, she walked him through every single step of the process. And he said, it's almost as if she knew what the future was going to hold because she prepared me for what was going to happen before it happened.
Wow.
And I would say that that's one of the kind of non-clinical benefits that a hospice nurse can provide for the patient and the family as well, to kind of understand what to expect and to not be, you know, blindsided by anything that they see or experience or hear. And that's a lovely gift that our hospice nurses can give to our patients.
Yeah, and is the part of that you mentioned giving up, and I've heard that in other people too, but I think you have to be kind of realistic that I remember my father also at the end, you know, basically asking my mother at one point, he said, what would you say if I just stopped treatment? He says, I don't feel well, and this isn't making me feel any better, and this isn't how I want it to end. And she said, you know, it's up to you. She says, you're the only one who can really make that decision. So he said, well, then I'm going to decide to go to hospice care. And he was shepherded out, but they were able to have a lot of other discussions, which I'm not so sure, you know, under some of those, you know, those drugs that try to kill the cancer are, you know, really doing other kinds of damage as well. So at some point, the battle is not going to be won. And then the question is the quality of what time is left. And you guys
Absolutely.
Know exactly where that nexus is in a culture that doesn't like to talk about it. By the way, I mentioned Patty earlier, and I forgot to use her. I call her Patty. I mean, she does have a last name, Annawalt.
Patty Annawalt, yes.
A very well-known, you guys, she's just a wealth of information, and she's the director there at Pathways. You are listening to Community Focus on your Cumulus radio stations in York and Lancaster, and they have multiple locations, hospice and community care, I think located in three counties, I believe?
Well, actually, we serve a wealth of counties in central Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. So we have a facility at Good Drive in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, which actually is the home to our administrative offices, but also to our palliative medicine clinic. So in addition to grief services and hospice care, we also provide palliative medicine. And so palliative medicine is comfort-based medicine for people who are not actually at end of life, but may be challenged by things like a very rough round of chemotherapy. So palliative medicine provides some comfort, some medication and comfort for people going through difficult experiences mm-hmm. like that. So our palliative medicine clinic is housed in Lancaster as well as our administrative offices. We also have an office in York, which has been open now for several years, and we have two teams who work out of the York office. And then we have our inpatient center and our Pathway Center for Grief and Loss, and those are both located in Mount Joy in Lancaster County, but very easily accessible off of Route 30 for anybody and 283 who wants to get to those.
One of the things I wanted to mention, Coco Minardi, who is the donor relations manager too, is you were talking about specialized care and that palliative care and that kind of thing. But I noticed that dementia is a particular focus. Veterans, you've got some specific programs even within these other larger specialties.
Absolutely. So, you know, like I said, we're not in the business of wish fulfillment per se, but we really do want to make sure that we are offering as many specialized services for people at end of life that we possibly can. So we understand, you know, based on research, that the experience that veterans have, war veterans specifically mm-hmm. have at end of life, is much different than somebody who did not have that experience. So sometimes they have seen things that the general rank and file person has not seen. And so it is difficult for them to unburden themselves of some things that maybe they might want to unburden themselves with at end of life. So we have a fleet of veteran volunteers who actually go and meet with the veterans and just have conversation and fellowship with them and allow them to share whatever it is that they want to share before they pass. And that is an extraordinarily profound experience for those veterans, as well as for the families. There's lots of stories where we hear about people who, you know, mom or the daughter or the caregiver was kind of standing outside the room and said, I never heard Dad talk about any of those things before. Yeah. So it's a wonderful service that we can provide to them. We also, you know, dementia care, it's not, necessarily, just an end-of-life experience, but it is something that so many people are dealing with in our country.
Yeah.
And it is a frustrating experience for the caregiver sometimes. Let's be very honest about that. As I said, you know, we're not trained in these kinds of things, so it's difficult. So we actually have dementia support employees who are especially trained in dementia care. And what they do is not only provide service to the patient, but then they can also educate the caregivers about ways to keep your loved one occupied and less frustrated and
so
less
important.
Agitated through a series of like adaptive devices, like a mechanical cat that will respond to the touch of a human being. And that's something that can be very calming to a dementia patient, or fidget blankets that they can put on their lap and have buttons and knots and different things that they can touch and, you know, put in and everything. And that just kind of lessens the agitation. So there's that, which is a, you know, extraordinarily important service to so many people. And then my own personal experience with my aunt. My aunt was very much into massage and Reiki, and they actually were able to connect her with a massage therapist and a Reiki master.
Yeah, I've never heard of that.
Continue those services. Yeah, so she was able to continue those services, and it was wonderful. It was certainly nothing that my family could have ever known where to look
for it. Yes.
So it really is a, you know, I hope that we provide a resource to the community, not just with one particular aspect of death and dying, but every aspect.
And there was another one, a couple of them, music and pet therapy as well.
Yes. Well, so we have wonderful pets, and I have to tell you, whenever from a fundraising perspective, very few people want to visit with a fundraiser. But if we can bring a pet therapist or and a dog along, they'll definitely open the doors for us. So we spend lots of time with wonderful golden retrievers and Jack Russell Terriers and just amazingly trained pets that are just, not show dogs, but just loving, you know, therapy pets that provide that kind of love and attention that only a pet can, that unconditional love that only a pet can.
Right. And Coco, those pets, you know, just in case anybody is listening and has no experience at what we're talking about, these pets are very specifically trained, and they are selected after a long testing. They are very good at working with people who need special care. So these dogs can take a lot of abuse if it comes to that, but they're there to be touched, and they like it and they know it. So it's not your typical dog.
No, it is a dog with a very good temperament, for sure. And they do actually, all of our dogs need to be certified. Anybody can kind of Google, pet therapy classes, and they can look into that. And all of our dogs are certified in that area, and they are just such a source of comfort to the families and the patients when they come in the door.
You're listening to Community Focus on your Cumulus radio stations in York and Lancaster. My name is Mark McKenzie, talking with Donor Relations Manager Coco Minardi. Now let's get to the fun part. We've talked about the business part, but I guess it's sort of business as well. But the Labor Day auction last year it's always over like a weekend, a holiday weekend. But this year, because of the virtual nature, you've got to do some different things.
Absolutely. So last year we celebrated our 35th anniversary of the auction, and we were thrilled to raise over $850,000 for hospice. Those services that we were talking about, Mark, at the Pathway Center, and those ancillary services like pet therapy and vet-to-vet care and things like that, those are not services that are covered by insurance or Medicare. Those are services that are funded exclusively through the support of our community and fundraising. So this Labor Day auction, while it is a ton of fun and great to, kind of engage with 3,000 members of the community and have wonderful Lancaster County delicacies like whoopie pies and sticky buns, it actually supports these services that otherwise would not be covered by any sort of payment from insurance or from private sources. So it's extraordinarily important that we have this. And, you know, this year presented a challenge to us. You know, we not having the Labor Day auction was really not an option for us.
Wow.
It is the backbone of our event fundraising. And so we needed to carry on. I will say that, you know, what the pandemic made so many people do is, from a fundraising perspective, is pivot and kind of look into online, you know, virtual events and everything. And there really was a wealth of people in the philanthropy community that had some experience and shared that experience with us, so we could launch this fairly easily. And instead of doing it on Saturday and Monday of Labor Day weekend, we are doing it from September 1st through the 15th, because we know that people's lives are a little, you know, crazy and at this point in time, and we thought we'd give people enough time to, you know, visit the site, also to get comfortable with the new interface. Not everybody is an online shopper, so this actually gives them some time to learn about the system, to
like
use it a
who?
Bit. I know my 76-year-old parents have really embraced online shopping.
I've become an expert.
So I'm not sure that there's anybody. I'm not sure that there's anybody that doesn't, but we're giving them the benefit of the doubt.
Oh, that's good enough.
Peruse all the items.
But the website is LaborDayAuction.org. It's all together, LaborDayAuction, altogether.org. And you've got some interesting things about how to, because in the past, how, what is the difference between how it worked in the past and what they'll be doing this time?
Well, so at our Labor Day auction that we've had previously, we literally had tens of thousands of items that local auctioneers would come and volunteer their time, and they would just, we'd hand them an item and they'd put it up for bid, and they knew what they were doing, and so they
it was live,
did it, you know, and it was live bidding, exclusively live bidding. And we had a plant auction, we had a tool auction, we had a furniture auction, we had a used items auction, we had collectibles, we had getaways, you know, vacation packages, sports memorabilia, you name it, we had something for everyone in the auction. Obviously, this year we had to scale it back, because to look through tens of thousands of items on a website would be laborious,
yeah,
to say the least. And also, quite frankly, we wanted to be sensitive to the fact that this pandemic has created an economic hardship for our local businesses that typically support our auction with donations.
True.
So we realized that they're not all going to be able to make gifts to the auction this year. So we have several hundred items, about 500 items that we have, and anything from sports memorabilia to dozens of beautiful locally made quilts that are always fan favorite, mm-hmm, at the auction, to getaway packages for those people who are, you know, want to go out and see the world. They can certainly do that with some of our vacation packages. But then we also know that people have started spending a whole lot of time at home, and they're doing a whole lot of DIY projects and home improvements. So we've added some home improvement projects to our auction items.
Good idea.
Of things to bid on, so people can get a leg up on some of their holiday decorating or even their fall plantings. So we have
what's
the Labor Day auction dot.
LaborDayAuction.org. What's the auction club?
Oh, so the auction club is a wonderful club that you join for a traditional auction, and what it gets you, your $100 donation gets you free food at the Labor Day auction all weekend long.
Ooh.
And let me tell you, as somebody who is engaged in enjoyed that food, I can tell you it is well worth the $100. Now, this year, obviously, we're not doing the Labor Day auction in person, so we can't be giving away free food. But what we're saying is that if your $100 donation to hospice to become a member of the auction club will feed your soul this year.
Excellent.
So we may not feed your belly, but we'll feed your soul this year.
But you do have a drive-through food. You do have drive-through food, though, right?
Well, the Amish community is served by hospice and community care, and they are very supportive of the work that we do. They actually manage all of the food operations at the Labor Day auction. So when we told them this year that we are not going to be able to have the auction in person, they understood fully. But what they said is, they said, you know what? We could organize a food sale ourselves. So they actually have coordinated and organized a food sale themselves that will be held on Labor Day at the Intercourse Fire Company from 8 in the morning until 5 at night, or whenever the chicken runs out. And people can just go to the food sale and get their food. And all the proceeds of that are going to be donated by the Amish community to hospice and community care.
Excellent. Now, there's a 50-50 raffle, which, did you have that before?
Well, we didn't have it before. Again, you know, this is 2020, so everything's a little bit different. So we did have a raffle, but in past years, we raffled off a Ford Mustang, a brand new Ford Mustang. But we did all of the sales of tickets at different community events throughout the summer. And unfortunately, everything was canceled. So we weren't able to do that. But we thought, you know what? There are people who love those games of chance.
They
want to, you know, they want to support it, and they want to also kind of see if they might be able to get something for it. So we just transitioned to it, just a straight 50-50 cash raffle. So whatever the pot is that we make in terms of ticket sales, the winner will get 50% of those proceeds. And right now we're trending a little bit over $1,000. And that was just since we just opened it. So I'm sure it's going to get much higher. So
there's no doubt about that.
Yeah, people can buy tickets at LaborDayAuction.org.
Now, Coco, in our final moments, is there anything that we haven't talked about? We've kind of crammed everything in. There's so much to chat about. Is there anything that we haven't talked about that you think needs a little bit more focus?
Well, I don't think there is, other than, like, I know you and I have become expert online shoppers, but for those people that might be a little cautious about getting online and bidding online, I just wanted to make sure that they know that this is a completely secure site, so they can, it's a commerce site that is completely secure. They can get on that. And when they go to LaborDayAuction.org, we have a little how-to section that they can just click on that, and hopefully it's just a very easy step-by-step process on how it is that they would actually make a bid and how they would participate in the auction. So we have tried our best to make it as easy as possible for them to get involved.
Excellent. Coco Minardi is the Donor Relations Manager for Hospice and Community Care, and they're giving us basically a tutorial on how to do one of the iconic events in Lancaster County for many decades, the Labor Day Auction, and now we're in this new pandemic, and they're refiguring it and being creative about it, and you can be a part of it. It's LaborDayAuction.org. Head to it online, examine some of the items there. You'll have a couple of weeks to do it, and can't wait to find out what happens. You guys do terrific work there, and I can't thank you enough from a personal level. And Coco, thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you, Mark, personally, and also thanks to the Cumulus radio stations of York and Lancaster. We greatly appreciate your support as well.
Excellent. LaborDayAuction.org. That's going to do it for Community Focus this weekend. I'm Mark McKenzie.